Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you prepared for a wonderful next year? You know, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now go to Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Praise the Lord. Now it says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Praise the Lord. So the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the deserts. Now I want us to realize that there is not a single word in the Bible that is not necessary. Everything there has a meaning and has been put there for a specific reason. Okay? Including the fact that he was in the desert. That's not extra detail. There is no such thing as extra detail in the Bible. And when you're studying it, you have to know that every word, every place, every person mentioned, because there are people who are not mentioned. But then there are those who are mentioned. So you have to understand, why does this mention this name and not the other name? And so on. So now it says, the child, talking about John the Baptist, okay, grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the desert until the time of his, you can use the word, unveiling to Israel, until he was unveiled as who he was, as what he was called to be, until the time of his manifestation. Now, you know all about growing, becoming strong in the spirit, and being in the desert. Okay? You know all about that. So many people have been in deserts, in all sorts of places, spiritual, financial, and so on, deserts, where, you know what desert would symbolize in this case? A lacking, a sort of lacking, a sort of dryness in your life, apparently, and yet, actually, you've been becoming strong in the spirit. Amen? But your strength is not visible because the time of your manifestation is not yet. So now, if you had found John the Baptist in the desert before he was unveiled, he would have looked like some crazy man who is walking around. He doesn't know what he's doing. Okay? But then, he is going through a process that is preparing him for his unveiling. Glory to God. Amen? Now, I'm saying this because we are preparing for your unveiling. Amen? And because 2024 is the year of your unveiling. And everything that has been happening behind the scenes, which nobody knew anything about, and people even complained, what are you doing with your life? You've had those questions. Eh? What are you doing with your life? You should be doing something. And of course, there is a path that they would want for you to take. And sometimes you can look like a real vagabond when you are in the desert, becoming strong in the spirit. And people do not understand you because you look crazy. And so they do not know that you're about to be unveiled. Praise the Lord. So now, you are going to be unveiled before Israel. He says, manifestation to Israel. Now you find somebody comes out of the desert and comes and stands somewhere and says, repent all of you, and everybody comes running to him, including Pharisees, and they ask him, what should we do? Okay? Now, what gives him that authority to start speaking out of nowhere, and somehow everybody is now listening to him, and the whole crowd comes and he baptizes them and starts teaching them, repent, you know, and so on. But you see, you have to understand that this is how it goes. Because God has prepared him. Now, when he steps out, he's stepping out not as the person in the desert, but now as somebody who has been unveiled before Israel. Now, your Israel, might be some people who are going to be unveiled before Uganda or before whatever. But it can even be unveiled in a trade that you have been trying to ply for a long time, and somehow it hasn't been working out, rather. And because you've been in the desert, but you are becoming strong in the spirit, then you turn around, and somehow you've become somebody of substance who everybody is referring to, and you don't know that, okay, you know now, but somehow God has been preparing you, and now he's saying, okay, the time of your unveiling is now. Praise the Lord. Is when? Is now. I'm talking about now, starting 2 weeks from now. Eh? Glory to God. So all the wonderful things that you've been saying and nobody takes you seriously because your unveiling was not yet. Now I tell you, in the years that John the Baptist was in the desert, if he had come out and said, repent everybody, people would have said, look at this madman. Who are you to tell us to repent? Are you a Pharisee? Who are you? But that would be because the time of his unveiling, you know, was not yet. But as soon as the time of your unveiling comes, you step out and you speak and everybody sits down to listen. Have you ever said something when people are eating and they put down their forks and look at you? Yet previously you'd talk to them or with them and it's just talk. But at the time of your unveiling, as is going to come, you say something and somebody sees profound wisdom in it. And then they, where did you get this? And you say, I've been saying this for so many years, but they were not noticing because he had not yet been unveiled. Praise the Lord. But now, when you speak, they will notice that you're speaking sense. Because there are people who speak sense and nobody. Remember the scripture in Ecclesiastes which says the poor man who saved the city and nobody cared about him because he was poor or because he had not yet been unveiled. You'll say, okay, unveiling is also financial. Eh? Praise the Lord. Because it's so much easier to get people to speak to you when you're what? When you're in a certain place financially. Like they will listen to any. Anyway, now in the book of Colossians chapter 1, it talks about how he created all things visible and invisible. Okay, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. So now he divides things which were created between first two different categories, and then secondly, another two different categories. The first category is things which are in heaven and things which are on earth. Amen. Then he also divides them further into those which are visible and those which are invisible. Okay? Now, so we know all things are. There are those which are visible, there are those which are invisible. Now he goes on to say, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, all powers, all things were created through him and for him. Now, you see that the invisible, first of all, and the visible include thrones and dominions and principalities. So there are thrones and dominions and principalities which are invisible. But then there are those which are visible. In other words, all these, the thrones were not created for him. They are created for his people. Amen? And then his people sit on those thrones. But they can sit on them in the invisible realm. And they are not visible. And they're occupying, and that is you, a certain place in the spirit. But because you have not yet been unveiled, it is still invisible. So you speak and say, I am this. I am the leading person in this industry or so on, and you sound foolish because you're occupying a throne, but that throne is invisible. But now, whatever throne you've been occupying in the spirit is going to move from the invisible to the visible. So you occupy it both in the invisible and in the what? Now, if I was telling you, there are some things I would tell you about myself, and you say, yeah, we know that. Amen? If I told you that I'm the watchman, I'm the leading Bible prophecy teacher in this country, perhaps even beyond, actually beyond. You'd say, yeah, we know that. But there was a time that throne was invisible. I had to work to make it what? Visible. There was a time I had that throne, I had that calling, I had that unction inside me, but I could not stand and speak it because my unveiling in that area was not yet. So it was still an invisible throne. Okay? But it took time for that specific one and some work for me to turn it away from the invisible realm to the visible realm. And there are so many things that you are in the visible. And if you say, people will say, yeah, we know that. But then there are so many more things that you are in the invisible, and the Spirit of the Lord with you this year is going to make sure that by this time next year you say, I am this, and everybody says, we know that. But now if you say, I am this, they will say, building castles in the what? In the air. But now, the Lord works with you and unveils you very fast. The unveiling, by the way, is not a long process. Eh? The longer process is the preparing you as you grow strong in the Spirit and preparing you and bringing you to a certain place. And as far as the Lord is concerned, the unveiling is so easy, very easy. And one event happens, perhaps, and from 1 minute, you were nobody, the next minute you are somebody. Remember the Goliath incident where you took food for your brothers who were fighting, and for you, you are just a little shepherd boy. And even your elder brother, Eliab, says, with whom have you left those few sheep? Because he's still seeing you in a certain way. He doesn't know that in a short time after God has unveiled you, nobody will know him. Everybody will be talking about you. You understand? But now from where he stands, you're supposed to be looking after sheep. Don't waste our time. What are you talking about? What will the king give to whoever slays that man? Then his brother even said, and now this is also going to be true for us, that you insolent man, according to you insolent man, you're stubborn, you're like, you know, insolent. Rugezigezi, like you, that's not what insolent means, but some of you might take it from what? From go and use your dictionary. Anyhow, so, but you called him, you insolent man, somebody who is putting yourselves in matters which are beyond you. And you know about that. When you are in some kind of, somebody says, ah, this is beyond you. What are you even asking about? Then he leaves this group, goes to the other, and goes to the other. But then, the time of his unveiling is there. Now, immediately that event happened, the next meeting, they are calling him to the palace. Did they ever call Eliab his older brother? No. They are calling him to the palace. The king has need of you. Come here. So he goes to the palace. And even goes and informs his father, the king wants me. Then the father packs some, you know, nice things. You don't go to the king without anything. Eh? Then takes them. Then it turns out the king just wants him to play the harp because some muzimu is on him. But now that is the progression after the unveiling. And now you realize that, and I want you to notice this and be careful about this. When the unveiling comes, and you notice something has happened, don't try to act the same way you were before. Like you can't, otherwise you can actually reverse the unveiling. I mean, I'm just a simple man, I don't know what, you know, and those things. And then you go to a place where people are seeing you in a certain way, and you're trying to see yourself the way you were, and you somehow think that's humility. And you actually can undo the unveiling. And now when this happens, you have to fit in the role, okay? Because now imagine this little shepherd boy. Then the next day the king says, I want you to marry my daughter. Go and get 100 foreskins of Philistines. And I was forcefully circumcised them. And bring me the what? Of course, the easiest way of forcefully circumcising them is by first killing them. Which is what David did. But now imagine, I want you to see how the whole thing is. So go and kill 100 Philistines. Now there, he killed one Philistine and somebody could have said, yeah, this is, yeah, he was lucky the stone went and you know what. But now he goes for 100. And now he's confident that now this is a new David. I'm no longer the shepherd boy. So he goes and kills the 100 Philistines and brings the foreskins. And then the scripture says, that's when Saul knew that he's in serious trouble. Because he knew the other one wasn't a what? A one-off event. It wasn't a fluke. The Goliath one. He knew this man something has changed around him. And that is the point at which Saul started walking all over, looking to kill David, because he understood that something has what? Has changed. He has been unveiled. And he knew he has been unveiled as what? Okay? So he knew that that was the end of his bloodline. So it wouldn't be his bloodline ruling Israel. And you see somebody, and you're scared of them, and you try to kill them, but God has unveiled them, and you try to kill them, but you actually are the one getting closer to dying. Okay? And then you think that, you see, all these things are, they are not there by accident. And I'm talking about you. Don't think about it in this in terms of anybody else apart from yourself. And so you realize that this is the end of me. I have to kill this boy. But then you set out to kill him, and then he's the one who has the chance to kill you. Remember that? First, he goes into the cave, and the Bible says, he, Saul, was surrounded by 2,000 strong men who used to surround him all the time for his protection. But they go inside the cave pursuing David to kill him, and the scripture says, the sleep of the Lord hit them, and they slept. And David comes and stands over you and has your sword. And even his people tell him that this is the day that the Lord was speaking about, when you are supposed to avenge your enemies. But then he does something worse than killing you. He forgives you. Now you know that kunafu was you. Like you feel, man, I'm useless. And then he gets your sword and then cuts off a piece of your robe. And then goes across on the other hill and waits for you to wake up. Then when you wake up, he says, isn't this your sword? That yes. Isn't this part of your robe? If I had wanted to kill you, I would have killed you. Now imagine you're the king, you're the one who is supposed to have power. And then this shepherd boy, whom you still see as such, even if God has unveiled him, is telling you that I had the power to kill you. But I chose not to. Then he even says, send one of your people. He first even rebukes the... but David also had Kamanyiro. He first even rebukes the bodyguard of the king. And say, what kind of person are you? You exposed your master to this. That I come near him and you're sleeping. So he says, anyway, come for the sword of your master. So the bodyguard comes, of course, very humble. Because that's not supposed to be the plan. Eh? The plan was supposed to be, we find David, we kill him. And then we are sure that Saul's bloodline is going to continue ruling. Okay? But then he shows you that he actually had the power to kill you. And he decided not to. And even did that twice. And on the second time, do you know what Saul said? I'm speaking things which you are supposed to relate with. Eh? Amen? I'm not just giving you Bible stories. You had those in Sunday school. Eh? And at the second time, Saul, after he says, even now I could have killed you and I spared your life. Then says, lifted up his voice and wept. And says, now I know you are going to be king in Israel. He says, but please forgive me, don't finish my family. You see, now by the time you get somebody to that point, where they are supposed to be in power, but God demonstrates to them that actually they have been having a throne which was visible because the person who had it in the invisible was not yet unveiled. And now that person has been unveiled. Praise the Lord. And now it is clearly, demonstrably clear that he's not the one with the power. But you see, people like that never give up. Saul never gave up. There's no time when he said, okay, it's okay, you come. He even told David, okay, you come. You know, people have been deceiving me that you're a bad person. But then now I know you're a good person, so please come back. But David knew that was all what? Fake. Huh? So people called, yeah, it's okay, we don't have any problem with you, come. Let me tell you, there is nobody who has occupied the throne who gives it up without fighting. Amen? Not a single person. Now, even you, those people whom you want to dethrone, let's say in business areas, I want to be the best fashion person or the best person in makeup or the best in whatever throne that you want to occupy. Those people give up a lot to have those thrones. They make a lot of sacrifices. The people whom God is dethroning, okay? They make plenty of sacrifices to hold on to those thrones, and they hold on to them with dear life. Now, when your God unveils you, and like you have to sense something has changed, there is something that has absolutely changed. Okay? I remember one time, I had a dream. I'd even forgotten about it. Somebody reminded it to me, whom I told it. Where, okay, in brief, the dream was, I went and they gave me another identity card. And then a voice said, now you've taken on an entirely different identity. And I'm telling you, after that dream, there was something that changed in the way people perceived me. But it was still at a small level. You see, also unveiling can be, eh? You see, eh? Before the super unveiling. But I knew that time that I knew the identity I had taken on. And I knew that something was still in the invisible realm, but I had to make steps to get it out of invisible into visible. And that is a bit of my response, but of course with the Spirit of God. Now, this is going to be your thing this year after you're unveiled, okay? Something happens, an event happens, and you know that you've been elevated to a certain place. And there are so many unveilings I would want to tell you, but now the one that is coming this year is going to bring out the real you, the way John the Baptist was. The real you. So who is you that people didn't know about, but that you had? You were the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, but you were still in the desert, still eating, you know, bee and whatever, locusts, because you had not yet been unveiled. You see, even the Lord, everything, all of these things, I've spoken to you before and I've told you that there is nobody who is born in this era who is not special for the end time. You understand? Eh? Every spirit, every person that was born in this time to be alive now has been prepared by God to have a big role in this time. Praise the Lord. Now, if you try to live like you used to live before, like I would say like the way Christians used to be before, you know, just going through, you know, we are going for Bible study and so on, and you know, you'll miss out on something. But of course, you can't miss out on it, the fact that you even come here and you have a sense of, you know, the time, because we know that what is supposed to be done at this time. So everybody is born for a specific time. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, I think verse 19, start from verse 19. Okay, but with the precious blood of Christ as of one without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or was unveiled in these last days for you. Now, this is Peter speaking, that all the events of Christ's life and death and post-death were foreordained before the foundation of the world. But also, he had to wait for the time of unveiling. Now is the time. Go and be unveiled. Praise the Lord. So now say, now is my time. Say it. You know, your life and the life of Jesus are one, juxtaposed in the spirit. So also you, and I see so many people who, like, you've seen so many wonderful dreams and visions and so on, and you've had very good times in the spirit. But in the natural, they are not reflected. And it's like that scripture in Isaiah which says, you sleep when you're hungry, and behold, you dream when you're eating meat. But you wake up in the morning and you're still hungry. So that you want to go back to sleep, because at least in the sleep you're eating meat. Now that's how it is. But then, now you're going to be eating meat, not in dreams. And I'm talking figuratively. By the way, let me tell you, prepare for a wonderful 2024. And I have been insinuating on this in the last so many past ministrations, because I'm seeing something that is wonderfully happening. And now it has to happen at this time, okay? Because of the calendar, and you're ready. But whether you're ready or not, behold, you come. You're coming. Praise the Lord. Don't undercut yourself, man. You are going to be unveiled. Everybody has an Israel. There is nobody who is here who doesn't have an Israel which is waiting for you. Where they come and say, behold Israel. Yeah, John the Baptist. Then he says, now all of you in the river. And they say, okay. Like when you unveiled, everybody listens to you. You know that scripture in Psalms 110? Thy people shall be what? Willing. In the days of your power. Or in the days of post-unveiling. Everybody who is supposed to be in your life is weeding. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's a guy who told me that he dreamt. Let me start with myself. There was a time I didn't have a car and somebody lent me their car. So I was enjoying it. You know what I mean? Eh? Yeah. Like, you know when you don't have a car and somebody lends you the car? So he lends you some car glory. Eh? So anyhow, one day I had a dream when I was looking for my car and I didn't know where the keys were. And in the dream, apparently, I had bought a car. But then I turned and I went outside my fence where I used to stay. And that car which they had lent me was there and I had the keys on me. Now, this guy, of course, had lent me a car because he had other cars. But I knew what the dream meant. He was supposed to sow the car in me. But I did not tell him. Never tell people things like those. Eh? They will hate you for nothing. Eh? Mm. Never tell people. There are people whom I know. Eh? I know. You come and you look at them and you say, if you could only do this, you'd be sorted. But they will look at, because people are, you know, fake. Eh? And there are people who are bold enough to tell them. But those people usually are not the ones who are going to be their breakthrough. Mm? But you come and you're saying, pray for me for this and this. And I know you have to go and get a big seed and bring it to me. And you will get it without any prayers. But I cannot tell you that. Because if it doesn't come from you, you'll not even have the faith. Okay? You don't even have the faith to give. Because some of these things, you give. I've had an incident where, I think I've told you this. Somebody came and said that, you know, I want this video. I've brought this car to sow it into you. Now, that time I had a good car and I didn't want their car. And then they brought for me a ramshackled car. Completely ramshackled. I said, come and see. But I could see it was, she was caught in two minds. Somebody was telling her, no, you saw. Then I said, no, I don't want the car. She said, no, man of God, you take the car. Man of God, you take the car. So I said, okay. So in my mind, I'd already decided who I was going to give the car to. But I could not give somebody a car in that state. So I first got money and repaired it and added this and that and so on. And thank God I did not tell the other guy I'm going to give him a car. So when I'd finished much of the repairs, the person came and said, ah, man, may you give me back my car. It was a lady. I could see she came ready for a fight. But that time I was so financially liberated. I said, hey, by the way, I even put new tires, new this. Here are the keys, you take it. I didn't want it in the first place. Then now she started becoming shy. I said, no, it's okay, you take your car. Now it's in better condition. It's not the ramshackle it was before. Now imagine I'd called the other guy and told him I have a car for you. I would have had to buy a car. Because you can't go and tell somebody such a story. So I would have had to look for money and buy some kind of car. Because it was a, okay, it was a really bad car. Eh? But, so these people, now this guy who, who, when something does not come, because the lady came with somebody, even when she came to sow. And I could tell talent come from within her. And when it doesn't come from within somebody, they will not have the faith. You know what the scripture says? Unless a seed dies in the ground, it does not bear fruit. Now somebody who sows a car and comes and says, give me back my car. There was no seed there. The seed had not died. When you give a seed, it has to die. In other words, it has to be, you don't have any stake on it. It is dead as far as you're concerned. If somebody comes and tells you, and I remember even some guy told me, can you imagine how much I've sown? I've sown as much as this. And I'm not seeing anything. And I said, the reason you're not seeing anything is because your seed is still alive. Jesus said, most assuredly, I said to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. So, in your mind, you're supposed to be getting a harvest. You're waiting for the harvest to forget about the seed. But there will never be an harvest because it abides alone, unless a seed falls in the ground and dies. Now, of course, this woman's seed was not going to die. I could see she was almost as if I was taking her kidney. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces what? Much grain. So if you have any seed which is still alive, make sure it dies. You know what I mean by that. Eh? Forget about it. It is dead. You've released that money. Don't even think about it. Then it dies. Then it produces much grain. If it's still alive, it is not going to. Now, anyhow, let's go back to our thing. That woman was just a nyongeza. But it taught me something. Do you see these people who come and say that? Many of the people who come and say that the pastor kuferad me this. Eh? He did not. They gave something and they expected, I think, like the next day, like they were going to go and pick $1 million on the street. So when they don't, they go and say the pastor kuferad me. Do you know that lady? To know I was so heavy-hearted in receiving it, I even got a phone and recorded her saying that I have given you this car of my free will. Now imagine if you came and gave me a seed. And I said, first wait. Bring out a camera. You would know that, man. I am really heavy-hearted about it. So I recorded her. I told her, first write a document that you've given me this car. All that while I wanted her to say, no, I don't. But she wrote it. Because she was with this other guy who was like, you know, I think this guy had an acid sewing. But he didn't know that you cannot force somebody into that thing. You can't. So, anyhow, so she wrote. And I was there. That place there in Renzori Towers, you remember. So I was there looking at her, hoping at some stage she says, man. But she went through it, then signed. And then as she was writing, I was recording. I said, I've recorded you. She said, yeah, that's okay. And you've written, yeah, that's okay. You've signed, yeah, that's okay. I said, okay. Then she said, okay, come, let's go and you see the car. So I went, not knowing what to expect. When I went there, I even wondered how they had let the car inside the parking. Because the only gate that would be open for such a car is a garage gate. I looked at the car and man, like it was so underwhelming. Anyway, that aside. So now this other story was before. So I had a dream, clear dream, where you're supposed to do that. Then he used to come and talk to us sometimes. And so he told us this powerful, powerful job that he had applied for and he was believing God for and so on and so forth. Then now he had another dream telling him the same thing. And now he went to somebody else. He did not go to me. He went to somebody else, another man of God. And I was in the dream. And the man of God told him that clearly what the dream is telling you to do is if you want to get that job, you get your super custom and sew it with carburetor. And you are going to get the job. And it was very clear. I don't remember the details of the dream, but when I heard it was very clear. It was clear that. Guess what? The man went and said, the other man of God is fake. Now the trouble is, he was even my friend. So the man thought that we were conniving to take his car. So he even took it away from me borrowing it. Because he really saw me as, I did not tell him anything. And I did not even know that the other guy had told him anything. I don't even know about the second dream. But their relationship crumbled because of that completely. Anyway, he never got the job. And then he put the super custom on the market and nobody was willing to buy it. Then eventually the person who bought it paid him in piecemeal, 500,000, 1 million. What? Basically, now I'm telling you that when the time of unveiling comes, sometimes people have to do bold things. Eh? And then he would come and complain. Eh? And say, he even came and told me, can you imagine that guy was trying to, like as if I gave him a dream, he gave me something different. Then the same guy went and told the dreamed prophet. Now, prophet looked at him and said, my mind is a bit congested right now. Because you see, when you're sharp, you know that somebody doesn't want to hear that. Eh? And now I know that when he starts telling you that, now I've been talking, my mind is a bit congested. Eh? Tell it to me tomorrow. Eh? And you never listen to it again. Eh? Now you know that he looks at you and knows you're not ready for the what? For the message, and just chills you. Eh? Then he say, man, pray for me this job, pray for me this job. But of course, like I understand that. Eh? Like Yeah, it's a car and what? Okay, it's an old super custom. It wasn't even like all that. But okay, not as ramshackle as the other. Anyway, now that's another person who comes and say, Bamfeze motokayage. But you brought it and gave it yourself. But then your seed was still alive. You know you have a chance to go and dig up your seed if it is still alive. But when it has died, you have nothing to dig up. You only have to wait for the harvest. Eh? Okay, praise the Lord. Then when I saw the way he reacted to the other guy, I said, thank God. I never thought, because I even told the dream to a pastor, have you told him? I said, ah, no, I can't. I can't tell him. He said, hey, why? I said, no, I can't. I can't. You'll get a dream. If something is going to happen, it will have to come from him. So now the purpose of this is telling you that when the time of your unveiling comes, you have to work yourself up into a certain place. Amen? And let people receive you in a certain way. Because God can give you a platform. God can raise you up to a certain level. And you disrespect that level. Okay? And eventually it becomes difficult for you to be received at that level. Because either the people whom God wants you to be in control of are the people whom you want to hang out with. I remember I told that to somebody. I told him, but you're hanging out with people who are supposed to be beneath you. And you're working in this place. And these people work under you. But in the weekends, you're out taking coffee together and so on. That complicates matters. On Monday, when you go and tell her, go and get me a cup of coffee, she's seeing you as a bade. So I advise that person, find bades outside of those you're supposed to be what? And because you can actually detonate your own thing. So you have a throne in some place, and you are the boss. And then now God unveils you as the boss. But your habits are still the same as what they were before. Man, me, I'm cash. Over what? Eh? And man, like, you are so stupid. Because after some time, it is going to be taken away. It's just a matter of time before God takes it away. If you behave like that. Eh? And it will be given to somebody else. Amen? You see, you have to know that we are kings and priests. Glory to God. And there is no king who is not deserving of respect and honor. Glory to God. You see, these kings, like these kings, these natural kings who hold thrones in the natural, they even teach them when they are young that it is okay for people to come and fall down before you. Otherwise, if they come and fall down before Akenai, starts becoming shy. Because he has not yet sat on his throne as a king. But then you find an earthly king, he expects it. And he expects big men who are old enough to be his father to come and fall down. Oh, I was. Whatever. Then what? Now I saw one was coming from abroad, and people even, he was not supposed to touch the ground. So he walked on people's backs. Old men. Now, if God has given you a throne, I'm not saying you do that. But I want you to know that you can't be the same person. Amen? If you try to act the same person, the throne will be taken away from you. Now, when we enter into this time of unveiling, praise the Lord, and we are unveiled as who we are, everybody here has a throne which God has prepared for you. Amen? Dorothy, he has a throne of children. Amen? This one has a throne of farming. And now if you expect to be the same, man, God says, man, you have made you a king and you're talking about you understand? Now everybody, okay, there are some people whose thrones I know, even those who haven't told me. These ones have told me. But there are some people whom I'm seeing, and I see you have a throne, but you've settled for something very small. Where is that guy who was here last time I preached? The auditor guy. When he came before me, I saw a throne. But I saw somebody who is celebrating something small, okay, which was good. Which was good for him and for me, because I gave him a specific prophecy and even gave a month when it would happen. And it happened. Good. But I saw somebody who is comfortable in a very, and he came with this powerful you know, testimony. And I'm thinking this is supposed to be like small to where you're going. And it was good, of course, it had happened because I think his wages had been more than doubled. And that was good. But I was seeing a throne. And I could have told him that time, but I didn't want to dampen his what? His mood. So that's why I waited to tell him later. Because if somebody comes and tells you something big, in his mind, and then you show him it's small, you can discourage him. So I didn't want to discourage him. But by March, some of you will not even be able to recognize yourselves. Amen. Like, your Israel is waiting for you to be unveiled. Like it is waiting, and God is saying, now is the time for this thing to happen. Praise the Lord. So now thrones which have been invisible, becoming visible, and becoming there for everybody to see. And you've gone through your desert time. Glory to God. You know everybody goes through a desert, before the what? The promised land. So there are thrones, there are dominions. They are for the taking. Invisible. Some of them have been invisible. But now God makes them visible. And you have a clear place of dominion. Because I told you before that the supplanting of the kingdom of darkness that God is doing, he has somebody for every place where darkness is supposed to be supplanted. So now, those people are occupying those. But do you know they are very, very uncomfortable as it is? Like, I've met people who have things who are very, very uncomfortable. And I know them. And they are very scared. And they know who is the person coming for their thing. And like Saul, they are pursuing that person. Praise the Lord. It can even be like a boss and what, where he knows you've, he can tell you've come for his job. And by the way, I'll tell you, those people, as I've said already today, those people do not give up those thrones without fighting. So do not expect to receive them without what? Fighting. But now the fight is going to be so swift, and the justice of the Lord is going to be so fast. Let me read one scripture here. The scripture I want to read is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. And it says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of praise. Amen? We will have a strong city. God will appoint salvation. Verse 2, it says, open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may come in. Go to verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. Now, go to verse 4. It says, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. The next verse. For he brings down those who dwell on high. In other words, those who have been in places which are supposed to be for you, and have been occupying them in the flesh. Those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the ashes, down to the dust. Go to verse 7. The way of the just is uprightness, almost upright. You weigh the path of the just. Go to the next verse. It says, yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. Now, this speaks about so many people. We've spoken, waited on the Lord. We expect this, we've waited on the Lord. And he says that, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. And it looked like judgment had been averted. It looked like people were going to get away with certain things. And it looked like the unjust were going to end out on top. But go to verse 9. Then it says that, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Now, people learn righteousness and people learn wickedness depending on what system there is. Remember the scripture which I read in Psalms 125 verse 3, which says the Lord will not let the scepter of wickedness reign or rest in a land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous are tempted to reach out to their hand and do evil. Because when evil prevails, now there's a lot of evil prevailing and people do things because there's an evil that prevails. And the judgment of God, his judgments, seem to be far away from us. So there is almost no repercussion. People can do anything and get out with it. Okay? and they know what they are doing, and they can send so many children to death. They can bring fake vaccines and send children to death, and then go and sit in front of churches, and they are glorified like they are some very good Christians, because there is no judgment of God. But then the time comes when God starts judging and judges the top, and then his judgment seep through. And then people realize that actually, when that time comes, you will not get away with anything. There are things which people used to get away with, which you will not get away with any longer. It says, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, and now this is not even talking about Uganda, this is talking about the earth. Imagine a scenario where there's a lot of mockery. Imagine a scenario where people go give a vaccine to people which is deadly and causes all sorts of issues. And then there is no repercussion. I'm talking to the people at the top. There is absolutely no repercussion. They come and lie. They do anything they want. They do, and you can tell in a nation the judgments of God are not there. Praise the Lord. But now they have come. Amen? And the process of unveiling you, the real you, who you are, is going to involve God judging people who have held those thrones and have misused them. Amen? Now it comes, and you used to get away with something before, and somehow you cannot get away with it any longer. And now it cannot come by the means of man, where somebody is given money to do something and they just waste it all and they do fake things. Now, if you knew the amount of... You see, Ugandans even are used to it now, where they go and get hundreds of millions of dollars from parliament to build a hospital in Lubowa. And there's not even, they haven't even dug the ground almost 4 years later. And like, do what you want to do. Like, we've done it. You know that sort of thing. Eh? Because where there is no judgments of God, and it says, for when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. There is one way of making people learn righteousness, and that is through judgment. And by judgment, it doesn't mean judgment. It means the judgments, where the standards that govern a nation have been put in a certain place where there are things you can't get away with, because the nation has standards. Now, all over the world, it is falling. Even in nations which once had standards, it's all falling. And there was a time when people, a certain scandal, people resigned. I'm talking even about those worlds which people think are so-called developed. But now, I was seeing the other day the Minister of Health in the UK who put lockdowns, you cannot move out during the COVID. Then the guy was driving miles to go and have an affair with a married woman. Now, they put it out there, and what previously the man would resign, he said, those are yours. Stay locked down, me, I'm not going to be locked down. And you see that all across the world, there is no standard to which people hold themselves of, if you've done something, you're not fit for office. That has now gone. But when the Lord brings his judgments, then the inhabitants of the land will learn righteousness. I'll go to verse 12. Now, this is for us. It says, the Lord will establish peace for us, for you have done all our works in us. O Lord, our God, masters besides you have had dominion over us. But by you only we make mention of your name. Masters besides you have had dominion over us. You understand that? We are masters. Let me tell you, anybody who did not understand masters having dominion over the church certainly did it in COVID. COVID was when it was so clear, masters besides the laws having dominion. And now I'm even seeing it in certain nations across here, where somehow politics stands against the church, and the church seems to be the biggest issue for them. You see, you start even in America, where they said the biggest threat for terrorism is conservative Christians. And it is put out there. And they go to churches, even Catholics, anybody who has any faith in America. And they accuse them of being the highest propensity for terror is among conservative Christians. It started with Obama. He's the one who first said it. Then when Hillary Clinton was standing for office, she went and said something. She said that there are certain beliefs which we have to ban in America. And she mentioned actually conservative Christianity, that they are outdated, we have to ban them. And you could, when she talked, you could see the devil talking. Eh? very rarely do you see her talk and you don't see. Because I remember even during the campaigns, I would look at her and say, how can anybody think this is a human being? You can almost see the fangs. And I'm not joking. I'm absolutely not joking. You know, these people go so deep that you hear somebody talking on TV and you're seeing fangs coming out like this. Then she said there are certain belief systems which we have to ban and what. But thankfully, that woke up so many Christians. And many of them said, we are in serious trouble. And that's what made many of them run to Trump for refuge. They're supposed to run to the Lord. But you know, many of them went and voted for Trump. Said, masters besides you have had dominion over us. But by you only, we make mention of your name. Now, I didn't want to say this. I pass it. Okay. But actually, yeah, you'll see that also. But okay. They are dead, they will not live. They are deceased, they will not rise. Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Now, let me tell you something. Some people believe that all that matters is here on earth. And when you're living and in the process of your living, you think that the only thing that matters for you is that you're here. Let me tell you, if the world persists, when you are towards the end of your life, you start thinking about what your memory will be, what will people will remember you for, and all the selfishness flies out of the window. You understand? And that's when you really feel the brunt of your selfishness and all the things you've done to people. Because now you know that people are looking at you and they are just waiting for you to die. And you think it doesn't matter. But you try when somebody is coming to the end of their life and they notice that it is a very, very sinking feeling when people do not recognize you, do not have any memory of you, and you know the minute you die, everybody is going to forget about you. Now, the Bible says these things, that your memory, and you think like it is just, but it is an important thing. Of course, for us, we are going to be raptured. You have to have something which we are people who are, you know, and made all their memory to perish. Now, the punishment is not just the death. Because to all people who lived before us, death has to occur at some stage. The punishment is when your memory has perished. That's why you see somebody, people want to set up a memorial for Amin. He says, no, forget about Amin, because he knows nobody will set up one for him. He has gotten a taste. Imagine somebody who, they've verified what, and stopped being president all those many years ago. But somehow some people are saying we want to build an Amin memorial. And guess who comes out? The man whose memory nobody will remember. Because you've lived a totally selfish life. Totally selfish. Now that is even true for people in the church. There are people who are so selfish, they can never accomplish an act of love. Very selfish. Amen? Now when, of course, here our memories, the memory we're interested in is the one the other side. But there are things which actually, people who are young don't think matter. But they do. They do. That one person whose life you changed, that one person whom you prayed for, even if they don't know, that one person whom you did what and what and what. And then somehow, the Lord keeps up your memory. Okay? And makes you, and you see, it is so important to him that he promised it to Abraham. And says, I will make your name great. That's even after you die. But you remember that woman of the alabaster ointment? Jesus said that, I am making you a perpetual throughout the age celebrity. That every time this gospel is preached, you will be mentioned. Now, her memory, in other words, you're telling her, I'm making your memory great. Because you've done this thing. Now your memory is going to be great. Even after you, people will still be talking about you. Now you think that doesn't matter. It actually matters. Now, when you know, because for those who lived before us, the reality of death was there. But when you understand that what you leave behind is so important, and usually people understand it when they're on their deathbed. That's when all the millions mean nothing. That's when all the money, all the things you did. That's when all the time you spent looking for a lot of money and you didn't even have time to be with your children. And then your children are there looking at you, waiting for you to die so that they can devour your wealth. And you see, they are not even sad. because they don't have any relationship with you. That's when you realize how futile, you know, money is. Eh? Very, very futile. And even all the other things which people pursue, money, power, if they are not given to them by the Lord and exercised within the will of God, that's when you realize that it's all so futile. And the only thing that actually mattered, as the wise man in Ecclesiastes said, is love God and work. Like, just love God. He said, at the end of all these things, I, Solomon, who had 700 wives, millions of dollars and what? I say it is all fake. Eh? All what? Yeah, but try telling that to a young man. Sometimes you even read that scripture, the guy says, wow, 700. Oh. But the man who had them said it is all fake. Have you ever read those things to young? They say, what? How many? Then some of them say, if I only had a tenth of that, a tithe, I would be a happy man. That's why Muslims even go and blow up people, because they are promised 70. Eh? 70 virgins. The guy says, ah, man, this earth of yours, if you go and blow up some Jews, and then when I wake up, I will find 70 what? But man, the devil is a liar, man. Then the next thing you realize, man, you find a pitch darkness and fire. Nothing like virgins. Praise the Lord. Anyway, go to the next verse. It says, you have increased the nation. Which nation? Hey, somebody is in the spirit. You have increased, after certain people have perished and what? And their memory is what? Eh? Eh. You know, I can say that confidently because they want me to perish. Hmm? They've desired that for me. Eh? But like David and Saul, okay, isn't this your sword? Isn't this your piece of cloth? I've forgiven you. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you have increased the nation, O Lord. I'm speaking these things, by the way, and I want you to understand that this is what we're expecting. Amen? Not the death, but this. The increasing of the nation. You have increased the nation, you have glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. Oh, glory to God. Lord, in trouble, they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. Okay? As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. Now, you know this is true for us. Eh? Like, something going to be delivered. Eh? Amen? Now, we have been waiting. Eh? As if in childbirth. There's something we are planning. We have been planning. And it's in a planning phase. It's almost there. You don't look like there's anything happening, but we are there. Like a woman going to give birth. Now the pangs have been on. And by the way, I've seen a lot of the pangs in 2023. Eh? So many people who are now the birth pangs are finally there. And there is hope that something powerful is going to be birthed. And some people even have dreams, even men when they are pregnant. Eh? And then they are shocked. Okay? But you are pregnant with something. What? And now especially women are the ones who get confused. At least when men dream that, they know it can't happen. Mm? Now when women dream it, eh, and they think of the dream in the flesh rather than in the spirit, eh, they start getting, what am I going to hear? So, if they don't want to be, of course. Eh, there are those who want to be. So as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, praise the Lord. How many of you know that we've been crying out? Mm? Like we've cried out. There's been pain, eh? We've cried out. It's been a year of, you know, of the sacrifice of praise. Huh? The sacrifice of praise, which means you praise in spite of what you're going through. Amen? And now, as she draws near to the time of her delivery, so have we been, Lord, in your sight. Go to verse 20. It says, come, my people, enter your chambers. Eh? And shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. Say now. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Now, I want you to remember this. Eh? The inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. They think they got away with 2020 to 2022. Eh? They think they got away with it, but they did not. You wait, you'll see. When the judgments appear, suddenly everybody says, why did we lock people up over Seniga? How can we lock people up and people die? People who are sick of other things which could be treated are dying because of some small flu. How did we get to this? How did we start forcefully vaccinating people? You know, they would stop buses going up country with soldiers, with guns, and tell people, all of you come out and be vaccinated. There is going to be a time for recompense. Eh? The judgments of the Lord are what? Are returning. There is going to be a time when the judgments of the Lord are there, where somebody cannot just steal money and do all these things and get away with it. And then when the judgments come, people know it, and then they fall in line. People think, somebody was telling me that, but how would this country be changed from what it is right now? I said, very easy. Just create repercussion. People everywhere do things because they don't expect repercussion. Amen? Try that with a child. Just let them do whatever they want, and there is no form of punishment or what. You'll see. That child can become a monster in front of your eyes. Amen? Hey. That's why the Bible says, beat them and take hell out of them. Because that, it's, the Bible says that in Proverbs. Eh? Because that child can become, if she does something, and every child does it, does something and then looks at you. Then you say, ah. Then they will go and do things on purpose. Then he goes, well, there's something on purpose. Then he looks at you. Now, if you are you think love means letting him get away with everything, you are going to produce a very, very, very stubborn, naturally stubborn person who does not understand the concept of authority. Now, when the Lord's judgment come about, everybody understands the concept of authority. Amen? Now, some people don't like it, but the first thing that comes is authority. When the judgments of God are not there, people speak to elders the way they want, they speak to leaders the way they want, they do anything the way they want, and so on. Okay? Then the judgments of God come, and somehow everybody puts themselves in place because they know that there are certain things you will not get away with. And now I'm not even talking about enforcement, as if human enforcement. It comes in the spirit, and you see people have now changed it. Praise the Lord. And now you realize that the Lord is in control, because there are certain things which people now fall in line, even without NH walk or even prison or whatever. They fall in line. You know, they told me there's a certain president in Nigeria who introduced chiboko for traffic offenses. So traffic policemen just had canes. Because people had become stupid. Somebody would go and park his car in the middle of the road and go and sit there and start taking a cup of coffee. And the cars pile up and he's like, you know those days, what are you going to do with that sort of thing? Now, then the president realized that if you lock people up, there are not going to be enough prisons for stupid people. Hmm? So he said, okay, now just chiboko. No locking you up. You do something stupid, come out, go down. Yes, yes. Okay, enter your car and go. And it stopped. Because nobody wants to be embarrassed like that. But you see, people have become mad. There is lawlessness. People can do anything they want. Of course, I'm not recommending. Eh? Mm. Don't get me. Okay. You see, that says, this is the thing I say. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. And people don't know that even the Lord does that to his children. There are certain people who have to go through suffering if they are going to be delivered from hell. And the suffering is God's mercy to them. Because they are too stubborn, they are hard-hearted. So God has to first touch their heart through suffering. And they go through a lot of suffering, and then they break down. And then he says, now, that's also true for children. And you see, people think that children are, man, use their, let them do it. They can become monsters. Those sweet little angels. Okay. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Praise the Lord. Now, I love this because there's a lot of blood that has been shed in the past 3 years. In the world, I'm not talking about Uganda, in the world.
needless blood. People falling down, falling on what, and so on. And then people confusing, and so on. But now, the thing about the judgments of God is sometimes they look like they are delayed. But when they come seriously. So now the earth will also disclose her blood. All the people, somebody goes and buys a big stock in a vaccine company, and then goes and pays all ministries of health to vaccinate everybody. And then after he's, when the vaccine is being found to be fake, then he sells all his shares and now goes and buys somewhere else. And the slain, the earth would have to give up a slain and say, you Bill Gates, you've murdered millions of people. And it's no longer something that people talk, you know, on Telegram groups and so on. It becomes open and it's out there. You, Anthony Fauci. Man, that's another one who talks and I just see, like that Fauci guy. Eh? When I see him talking, I just see, you know, like when a cobra has done this. Eh? And he's like, you just see, man, those guys are drunk with blood. Drunk with blood. And they want more. But they want more because they think they can sustain their thing. Even in this country. But now God is shifting it, and they can't do anything about it because his judgments are coming, okay? And there is nothing they can do about it. And it comes, starts slowly, and then it crops up and crops up and crops up, and then the next thing you see people who are untouchable. Their time has come to an end, and no amount of child sacrifice. Those pedophiles who traffic young girls, very, very, and boys, very, very young, and the God of justice is still on the throne, amen? And his judgments are going to come. Now, this is all across the world. His judgments are going to come because the God of justice is still with us. Glory to God. Now, there's a certain level of iniquity. You see, there's a difference in the Bible speak between sin, transgression, and iniquity. There is a difference. Amen? Sin, transgression, and iniquity. I'm not going to, but iniquity is the sort of sins that can cause almost a whole place to be cast. That's deep sin. That is like child sacrifice. That is like what? All those things that they do. Not the sinning of what? Sinning. Eh? That's different. The sinning which you know. what? And people don't understand that the righteous cannot sin. Amen? Which means you cannot what? Because you are born of God. So you cannot sin. The word sin is a noun. It's not a verb. Now, Jesus, some of you don't know English, so you're asking what is, what's the difference? Now, Jesus dealt away with sin. Eh? In other words, sin is like the brewery and the sins are like the beer. Okay? Now, if you want to stop people from drinking beer in Uganda, you don't go to houses and fridges and putting out bottles. No, you just close the brewery. Eh? And people will continue sinning. But if the brewery is closed, they will have to stop at some stage. You understand? Now, sin is what Jesus dealt with. With the part of you that is programmed to be like that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't commit sins. God knows you do. And you also know. Praise the Lord. You also know you do what? Yeah. But it's not like you don't understand it. But anyway, iniquity is a sort of thing that can cause a nation to be cursed when they commit iniquity. Remember in the scripture when they would take their children through fire? Firstborn, they burn the child alive. Like they get a young child and throw them in blazing fire. And the child is burned. Now that is deep iniquity. That causes the whole nation to be cursed. Like it brings a curse on the nation. It is not like these other things. There are things which are so deep. Even this child sacrifice which people are doing. Yeah? We are going to have to do major sacrifice to undo their child sacrifice. Because they are killing millions of babies. Yeah? Trying to prolong their stay in power. But now that has to be reversed. Amen? it has to be reversed, and we shall reverse it. And iniquity also involves, you know, cold-blooded murder. You know what it means to kill somebody in cold blood? People kill for reasons. Like maybe there's something between you, you have a quarrel, you are fighting for something, and so on. Or even other things, you caught somebody with your wife and what and all that. That's not cold-blooded. Cold-blooded is when there is nothing you have against somebody. Nothing. You don't have a quarrel, you have nothing. But you just choose to kill them. And sometimes those things cause, because I remember during the war, those years, there's this gentleman who, somewhere there in the village, Joseph, you know, a friend of my father's. So they come to the house, they say, we want things from the house. So the guy says, they enter the house, they take whatever they want, everything they want. Then they even load it on him and tell him, let's go. So he carries and takes to where they wanted him to put the things. No resistance, the man is, then when they finish, when you finish putting the things there, they tell you, okay, turn around and go. You can go back. Then, they killed him. Now that's really cold-blooded. Because there is no resistance. The manners, like, and those things bring, you know. Now, I was talking to a certain man of God. Now, I don't know whether this is true, so don't put it on me. I was talking to a certain man of God from somewhere in northern Uganda. And the man said that we have decided as a church to pray and ask God for forgiveness for all the people who were killed in cold blood when we were in power. I said, do you think that would be an issue? Because Kony was becoming, like, their land was being pillaged. They were not having any peace and so on. So led by a certain pastor, an apostle, he summoned all men of God. And they said, we are sorry for whatever. Now, I don't know whether that was the issue. I absolutely don't know, so don't put it on me. Okay? But the interesting thing is, as soon as they did that, and Kony vanished. And this is the man I met. So, we have to undo some of the things which some people have done in the name of our country. Praise the Lord. And then righteousness will reign here. And when righteousness reigns, so when you come into your throne, as you're going to, be sure that if any injustice of a grave nature has been done, you have to undo it. People don't understand how good, how justice is. Like when you treat somebody unjustly, like you go to Micah 6:8, it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, just do justice. Am I being just? And now all these things, by the way. And do I love mercy? Some people don't love mercy. Some people will hold on to grudges forever. Like mercy does not even show up in their thing. As long as they feel that they were hurt and they are justified in their being hurt, they are going to hold on to it. And like, move on. But you have to train yourself to be like this. Of somebody hurts you today and in the next 10 minutes you have no problem with them. And you've completely erased that out of your mind and you've moved. And when you do that, I'm telling you, you will see how everything opens up for you. Amen? Because you know, people don't understand that on that day, you know, okay, I'll tell you this. Prophet Elvis told me that when somebody is dying, and he has experienced that sensation, when you're coming out of your body, like everybody whom you've ever hurt, all of those things come on you. Even if you're going to heaven, all of those things come on you and you start waiting for all the people you hurt. Amen? And there are people who are so easy to hurt people with words, with actions, and so on. Now you would think that all the other sins you committed come. No, those ones are not. Amen? It is people whom you hurt. You really hurt somebody. And you're there. Your life is going on. Your life is going on. Anyway, do justly. Love mercy and walk humbly before your God. He has shown you, man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready for unveiling? Eh? I want you to know, Marys, you have come. Eh? Behold what? That's why you even sang the song. Behold, he comes. Hmm? Now the he here is you, even if you're a lady. Eh? You have what? You have been somewhere, being hidden somewhere in some chambers where the Lord has been teaching you certain things about life. But now you've arrived. Glory to God. Prepare to sit on your throne. God himself is unveiling you, just like he did John the Baptist. You've been through the desert. Then God says, now time for the desert is what? Is over. Then he unveils you, they unveil a bride, okay? After they have been adorning her. And you know, that's what will happen in the marriage supper of the Lamb. When the bride has been adorned properly, and then she's unveiled to the angels in heaven as the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now your unveiling is now. Praise the Lord. Say, my unveiling is now. My manifestation. Now, those words are almost the same, because manifestation means something people can see. Amen? Like, there are things you are, but people cannot see them. Manifesting is the things that you are being brought to the fore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Hey, we should sing a happy song. Eh?
There's a breeze blowing from the presence of God.
There's a breeze blowing from the presence of God.
There's a new river of glory falling, I see.
There is a new river of glory falling, I see.
All the windows of heaven are open for me.
All the windows of heaven are open for me.
There's a new cloud of glory falling, I see.
There is a new cloud of glory falling, I see.
There's a breeze blowing from the presence of God.
There's a breeze from the presence of God.
There's a new river of glory falling, I see.
There's a new river of glory falling, I see.
All the windows of heaven are open for me.
All the windows of heaven are open for me.
There's a new cloud of glory forming, I see.
There's a new cloud of glory falling, I see.
Favor
coming to me.
I am a child.
I am a child of the Most High God.
Favor coming.
Coming to me.
I am a child.
I am a child of the Most High God.
Glory coming.
Coming to me.
I am a child.
I am a child of the Most High God.
Money
coming to me.
I am a child.
Child of the Most High God.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Eh? Okay, money cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Marriage cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Thrones cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Dominion cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Favor cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Ownership cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Property cometh.
Come to me.
I am a child
of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, when Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, was attacked by a big army, you remember that story? And the Lord told them, just appoint praise singers. Eh? And then they appointed singers of praise. And the Lord did the rest. And their enemies were vanquished. And the scripture said they took loot. There was substance, which they took for how many days? I think 3 days. Praise the Lord.
Amen?
Now, we've come from the year of praise.
Amen.
Now after praise comes what?
substance. Yes. Eh? Yes. Amen? Amen? Looting of substance.
Amen.
Hey, glory to God. Amen. This is the year of the beginning of the wealth transfers. When I say this, I mean, of course, next. Eh? Yes. The beginning of the wealth what?
Transfer.
Hey, so now, substance. We praised God in spite of so many trials. Eh? We've somehow praised the Lord with the sacrifice of praise. Now, time is now for the loot. Eh? Hey, the Lord does the rest, and for us, we go into what? Take substance. Plunder cometh.
Cometh to me. I am a child of the Most High God.
Plunder cometh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, also health cometh. Okay, I want to bless you for coming here. So listen to me. Psalms 90, verse 16. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Now, I want you to repeat this. Okay. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Go to verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Okay, now I want us to read it using I in the first person. Okay, go ahead. Verse 16. Let your work appear to me. Okay. To me, your servant. Okay? Say it again. And your glory to my children. The next one, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon me. And establish the work of my hands for me. Yes, establish the work of my hands. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for what you've taken us through this year. I thank you for all the lessons learned and for the growth. I thank you, Father, because you've revealed yourself to us, every one of us, in a special way. And now as we go into the next year, I speak a blessing upon each and every person who is in this place. A blessing that establishes, a blessing that multiplies, a blessing that brings joy and peace, and all the things that you've spoken about, and the unveiling. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because not a single person here today is going to miss out on this special unveiling that you've shown me through your word and that you sent me here to speak about, that they are manifest to their people, the people whom you've called them to lead over, to have dominion over. They are manifest to them as their leaders. In the name of Jesus, in 2024, say amen.
Amen.
And all the people will accept them as their leader, because your hand will be upon the people in their lives to bring them to a place of acceptance that this is the person whom the Lord has chosen to be the leader in this place. And I pray you touch the hearts of each and every person, that no timidity, no being scared, no cowardice, no fear stops any of these people from actually sitting on that throne and behaving the way a king should behave who is seated on the throne. They execute judgment, they give mercy, they pull down those who are contrary, and they lift up because you've given them the throne. Say amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman Magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.